top 9.
Don't wanna be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of hysteria? The subliminal mind fuck America. Now everybody do the propaganda and sing along to the edge of paranoia.
Welcome to a new kind of tension all across the alien nation, where everything is meant to be okay. Tell the shared dreams of tomorrow.
Tuning in to Expat Life on Radio Guerrilla. It's folks like you who make this country strong and proud. Keep listening and spreading the truth, because that's what we need in this world filled with fake news. But don't touch that dial, folks. We're just getting started.
Greetings, Xenophiles. Don't like to get political on the show, and I rarely use language like this, but dear God, America, what the did you just do? David Guetta, 57 today. Charlene Spiteri from Texas, the same. Many things happened on this day in history, but frankly, none of them are very interesting, so we'll just get cracking. I wish, where's Douglas when we need him? Or Scott, I mean, the history pod guy. okay, let's get started. Our guest this week, what are you now, a teacher or a painter, or both?
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting question. Both.
Yeah?
Yeah. But, yeah, hopefully one day.
This is the answer.
Just an artist.
To the usual opening, the hardest question of the night. Who do you think you are?
Oh dear. Oh, that wasn't on the crib sheet.
Nope.
That's a bit like, it makes me think of that. Do you remember that TV show? Who lives in a house like...
Oh, got through the keyhole.
Lloyd Grossman.
Who lives in a house like this?
You'll have to come around my house and then tell me who I am.
Brilliant. This is Helen Lum, by the way. We should give you a name. Yeah, from Manchester.
Yeah,
Manchester.
Originally, but yeah.
Not much of an accent left.
No, I left when I was seven, so okay. Yeah. A little bit there, I think.
I only got there when I was 21.
Ah.
And I left by the time I was 31, and I've got more of a Manchester accent than you.
That's very true.
But there we go. It's not about me. It's all about you. We have a surprise intervention. Our good friends at Carrefour would like us to play some music. So we'll be back after this.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferită de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla. Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferită de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life.
Throwback. Tell me about your childhood.
Welcome back, Expat Life. That, as Helen Lum, right, as the man said, tell me about your childhood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how much of Manchester do you remember?
Very little, yes. So I lived there until I was 7 years old. And when I was six, myself and my family, we used to go on holiday in Scotland. And on one of those occasions, my parents saw a house for sale. They very much liked Scotland, especially my dad. And that was that. Warwick Wood was purchased. Anybody Scottish listening might think my pronunciation there is a bit lame. And I understand that in Gaelic, Warwick means kind of like gnarly or twisted or knotty wood. I grew up in a house called Knotty Wood.
Knotty Wood.
we moved there. They bought it when I was six, but we moved there when I was seven. And my parents lived there for 28 years.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, most people, when they go on holiday, they might send some postcards or buy a souvenir coaster. They bought a house.
Yeah, exactly. But I really like that. I think their attitude has given me a sense that, you know, I can move somewhere if I want to.
Anywhere
and,
you, like.
You know, there's a sense of you can do it. Yeah. I like that.
You don't have to run away from anything or it feels good here. Let's stay.
Yeah, start a new life.
Yeah. And you can do it over and over again, I suppose.
Well, I thought that, but quite settled now in Bucharest.
Good. Well, because you save the best to last. That's how that works. So, was it a big family?
No, it was my mum, my dad and my brother, who's almost 3 years older than me. And Warwick Wood was a detached granite house. There was a forested wood behind our house. It was like a forested hillside, and then across
the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
wow.
It was pretty remote, I have to say. The weird thing was, though, that then to the front was the Solway Firth, which leads into the Irish Sea.
Yes.
So in some ways a beautiful setting, and there was a kind of derelict Castle across the road from us. Uh-huh. So good fodder for the creative mind, this kind of mysterious, slightly atmospheric, almost slightly gothic kind of feel.
You're dreaming all kinds of sort of horror stories.
yes, exactly. But the weird thing was that the A75 ran outside our house, so we always had these big lorries running along to go to Stranraer and get the ferry to Larne, so that was quite strange too.
Well, yeah, and it just reminds you that you're not that far from civilization, are you?
I guess so, that's true.
Yeah, but yeah. Solway first, so not that far from Carlisle, I suppose.
Yeah, not far from Carlisle. Yeah, about an hour and a half in the car, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it is that far then. Thinking about it.
Yeah.
I could do it from Newcastle in an hour and a half.
Okay, yeah.
So actually, you mentioned about how remote was your house, and it sounds a bit spooky. It should have talked about this last week on Halloween week.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
But it was a long way to school, I understand.
There wasn't any public transport. There might have been a public bus once a week or something, but essentially no public transport, and a school bus for primary school, which was 5 miles away. A little yellow bus would come and pick up the children, small number of children that lived outside Cree Town, which I know that currently it has a population of 600. And then for secondary school, which was 12 miles away, population 4,000, that was Newton Stewart, and again a bus would come and pick us and take us up and bring us back. I really love being somewhere where you get trams underground and
you can be there and back in a few seconds, a few minutes.
It's brilliant.
Did you enjoy the school after travelling 15 miles to get to it? Did you actually enjoy being there, or was it just something you tolerated?
I liked primary school, but secondary school not so much. No.
Oh, to work harder then.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And the kind of not so much fun, and it was all right.
What was your bent? Were you sciences, arts, humanities?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I got pretty, you know, decent, not, I wasn't exceptional, you know, genius in any particular subject, but I was quite pretty good at most of my subjects. I think my least favourite subject was probably chemistry. So there was no clear path that I might take in the future. Like with some people, they know right away. Yeah. I don't know.
That's the answer to the other question I always ask, which is, what were you dreaming of? To be a doctor, a lawyer, an astronaut, a pilot?
Honestly, I know. No, not even when I finished university. And I find it interesting nowadays that the students that I teach, I mean, maybe the world has changed, and maybe nowadays you have to have something in mind that you're working towards that you want to do as a profession. But when I was young, I remember my parents said, what's your favourite subject? Uh-huh. And what would you like to study at university? You know, nowadays I think it's like a lot of parents that, you know, they're like, it's not about your favourite subject. It's about
what makes the most money.
Exactly.
The one that there might still be a job left for.
Yes.
Social media influencer. Are there university courses in that?
Probably these days.
So The Wicker Man was filmed where you were, right?
That's right.
But obviously before you were born.
Before I was born, yes. But, you know, when I found out that it was filmed in that area, obviously the original Wicker Man, I think there's been a remake, the 1973 version. I was kind of delighted that it had been filmed there, and that the Ellangowan Hotel in Cree Town, which I think is now closed, but that was used for the inside of the Green Man Inn. I don't know, I guess The Wicker Man, maybe it's a bit of a niche film. Have you seen it?
I've seen it a few times.
It's good. I just love this idea of the, I don't know, it kind of, for me, captures a little bit of the...
the mystery, the weirdness, I think, of living in a remote place. It can drive you a bit loopy.
What are you trying to say?
No. No.
I know.
If I was to go there, I've driven past it, but if I was to go there and stop, what should I look for?
So if you were stopped outside my old house, Warwick Wood, well, there, I mean, it was, as a child, you know, up to about the age of 12, it was kind of fun, you know, you go down on the beach, you kind of poke around on the, you know, it wasn't a beach for sunbathing on, but I kind of like these kind of desolate, windswept beaches, nobody else on the beach. And
old Cathy and Heathcliff.
Well, exactly. Wuthering Heights, exactly. And, you know, you can go for up into the forest, which, you know, in the summer has bluebells in the forest and it's got some amazing sunsets. And my brother, who was always interested in astronomy, and he had a... he said he hasn't been anywhere where the skies are as good for astronomy as they were at Warwickwood. And when my parents went to bed, we would creep out and walk about a third of the way up the hill behind our house with a telescope that he'd been given, a small telescope he'd been given for Christmas, and we'd do a bit of stargazing.
Right.
But I think I was there just as a kind of little assistant.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did learn a little bit about Orion's Nebula.
Ah, okay. I was in Transylvania in the summer a few years ago and stargazing with my brother. And look, Orion. Wow, isn't it amazing? All of this stuff. And then I went back for New Year's Eve and I was really puzzled because I couldn't find it. Well, of course you can't. It's on the other side. Like when I went to Cape Town and was really, really disturbed by the fact that the moon is upside down. That freaked me out. Anyway, Delamitri, tell me about Delamitri.
Yes, so a Scottish band, and, I chose this song because... as a teenager, the area I lived in became a bit less appealing to me than it was when I was a kid and enjoyed poking around in the woods and building dens and all that sort of thing. And I was really looking forward to moving away and going off to university.
Let me see if I can guess which song you picked. This one. Move Away, Jimmy Blue, Delamitri. You, me and my brother are the only people in the world who know Delamitri, so I'm going to look forward to this.
A struck match faded like a nervous laugh beyond the halo of a naked bulb, and your low voice mingles with your other half's school friends and secondhand clothes. Eventually your world will shrink within four walls of neglected depths and stolen stereos. So move away, Jimmy Blue, before your small, small town turns around and swallows you. A drunk mother was the cue. Legendary things that you do behind a carnival tent with mud on your face, behind the old glue factory too. So move away, Jimmy Blue, before your small, small town turns around and swallows you. When feet visit the same old places, you find him nothing new.
As ever, the online version will feature the whole song.
Good people gather around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back, Expat Life, with Helen Lum. This is the money, money, money bit. So it's about, you know, you finish your school, you start earning now. But first you did some university, right?
Yes, that's right. I went to Edinburgh University to study English literature, and I stayed in a lovely halls of residence. The main halls of residence is Pollock Halls, very big, purpose-built. But when we were filling in the application form, there was an option for this other much smaller hall of residence, Masson Hall, and there were only 100 students in it. And it was basically, it was just like a old, lovely, large mansion house with some purpose-built student accommodation at the back. But in my first year, I was in the main building, high ceilings.
So it's nothing like the young ones then.
So it was a really lovely environment, and, you know, 100 students, you get to know them. And it was only girls in the first year.
Oh, bad luck.
And the second year, the boys came.
Oh, yeah. It's like opening the floodgates.
So it was great fun. Have you been to Edinburgh?
Yeah. Yes. A good few times. One of my favourite places on earth is South Queensferry.
Just
the bridges.
Ah, I was going to say, why is that?
The Hawes Inn pub. I wanted to buy it and retire to it.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to happen.
it's one of my favourite cities. Yeah, okay. It's beautiful.
Very, very nice memories of eating Singapore noodles from the takeaway Chinese place next to where the house we lived in on a big Georgian crescent thing.
You lived in Edinburgh?
Well, we worked there. We were living there like Monday through Friday for a good while.
Okay, nice.
Anyway,
fish and chips, I think, is the thing to get.
Down at Leith Docks for
exactly.
A pint of heavy and a plate of stories.
Look at your Scottish accent. I bet my Scottish. Aye, exactly.
Great enough. So after you graduated from that,
yes.
So now I've got an English language degree, English literature degree, and boom, what did you do with it?
Well, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Is what I was saying earlier, and my dad said to me, "Well, while you think about what you want to do, how about, you know, you do a postgraduate teacher training. It's only a year. It'll give you some time to think, and you could, you know, with a teaching degree, you can travel abroad and get a job abroad." He knew how to hook me in. So I decided, although I loved Edinburgh, I thought, maybe I'll apply to Jordan Hill and have a year in Glasgow and then go back to Edinburgh, hopefully. So I got into Jordan Hill Teacher Training College, had a great time there. And then, it was time to start thinking of a job. But then that summer, my brother said to me, "Do you fancy traveling from the east to west coast of the USA summer?"
Yeah. Just like, as you do.
Yeah, as you do. And I was like, I had a small student debt at that point, and I was like, I've got no money. And he said, He said, "Okay, I'll pay." First and last time he's ever said that.
I hope he's listening to this.
Yes. So, that's what we did. And we travelled mainly by Greyhound bus and did Boston, New York and Washington and then Richmond and Chicago and then some of the middle states, Dodge City and things.
So what was your favourite?
I liked California. In Los Angeles, my brother almost died, which was not great. We were on Venice Beach, and he said he was going in for a swim in Los Angeles. Yeah. He said he was going in for a swim, and I said, "I'm just going to stay on the beach and have a read my book." And then at one point I looked up, and I could see a kind of little dots, and it looked like it was waving. And when I remember this incident, I don't know if you know the poem "Not Waving But Drowning" by Stevie Smith, which is really about people who kind of have depression and pretend they're okay. But in this case, my brother really was waving and drowning.
Oh.
And I kind of waved back. I didn't really know what was going on. And then the next thing I know, it was like Baywatch. There was some guy racing down the beach in a pair of red shorts, dived in. And
the Hoff.
The Hoff. And I didn't realise it was my brother that he was dragging out.
Whoops.
Yeah, he'd got cramp in his leg. And that was quite fortunate. And he survived.
Well.
He went on to become a physicist.
Oh, fair enough. Nothing wrong with that. And then you did some teaching. 6 years of teaching.
6 years of teaching, yes, exactly. I mean, there was a recession in the early 90s, and I would have liked to have stayed in Edinburgh, got a job in Edinburgh, but there was nothing going when I was looking, so I applied at anywhere, and I got invited to an interview in Farnborough. It was funny because we were put up in a hotel in Farnham. No, I don't know if you know Farnham and Farnborough.
Well, they're not the same place at all.
No.
These are mistakes to make, though.
Yeah. So yes, it was a lovely hotel, and Farnham is very affluent, and Farnborough not so much so, but it wasn't a bad school to cut your teeth, and it was all right. But then after 6 years, I got itchy feet, and I decided I was going to resign, and I bought a copy of Lonely Planet Africa and a backpack and went backpacking around Africa.
What? Just on your own, like that?
Yep.
Again, as you do.
As you do, yeah.
What on earth gave you that idea?
I don't know, I just, sometimes I get a little itch for adventure. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. But to go solo backpacking around Africa, that's quite a leap.
Well, yes, I mean, the night before my flight to Cape Town, I did think, is this a good idea after all? But I'm really glad I did it. I had a brilliant time.
How long before you noticed that the moon was upside down?
Yes. But, I mean, I did have an incident there, actually, where it was my turn to almost die. This was in Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. And I decided to go on a whitewater rafting trip on the Zambezi, which is grade 5 rapids. And our guide had been saying to us, you know, when I say paddle, you got to paddle. Because, you know, people do die on this river. And just last week, a couple of people... Exactly. And then we hit these rapids and flew into the air. The raft capsized. The raft fell on top of me. I hit my ankle underwater. And, you know, we all had to be hauled back into the raft. I'd done my ankle in, and then I had to hobble out of a ravine. But, you know, other than that, it was a great trip.
I'm not going to waste time now, but off the air, I'll tell you about my near-death experience at Victoria Falls.
Oh, tell us now.
I haven't got time now.
Later. All right, then.
Yep. And so you did all of the countries in the southern part of Africa?
No, and even then, you know, when you say, I've been to Zimbabwe, yes, I've been to Harare and maybe one or two others, so it's like you don't really know a country just because you've been to a couple of places there. But no, I did a couple of places in South Africa and Zimbabwe and Mozambique and Botswana and Namibia.
Oh,
yeah. Not bad.
It's quite a few.
Yeah. It was a great trip.
Time is ticking. You picked some AC/DC. Not only did you pick some AC/DC, you picked my favourite AC/DC song. I mean, it doesn't... Why?
Well, how long have I got to explain? A couple of minutes.
40 seconds.
Okay. So some people might find this a bit weird because, you know, I don't like kind of sexist lyrics. And this, the opening to this is... She was a fast machine. She kept her motor clean.
Yeah, she was the best damn woman that I've ever seen.
Don't have a dirty motor, ladies listening. Give it a wash. I chose it, though, because it reminds me of my partner, David, whom I met at some point during all this period in my life. And at a party, he was up dancing with an air guitar, doing the duck walk across the dance floor. I thought, yep, he's the one.
That's the one for me. Okay, let's listen to what inspired him to do that.
Shaking, the earth was quaking, my mind was aching, and we were making it anew.
pains me to fade this, but you know, I will listen to the online version so I can hear the whole song.
Expat Life, powered by those beautiful people at Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Chaotic. Quixotic. Exotic.
That describes Romania. Chaotic, quixotic, and exotic.
Ah, of course. Yeah.
So this is the part of the story now we jump forward to. You found yourself here.
Yes.
And why and how?
Oh, it was those itchy feet again and a desire for another little adventure. And I went to a recruitment fair in London for teachers, and I was interviewed for different positions, teaching positions in different countries. And then of the job offers I received, I said to David, well, you know, my partner, what do you think? And he said, Romania could be interesting. Yeah. So before I accepted the job, we came over for a little weekend break, and right. We thought, could be pretty livable place, and you know, interesting, and but not.
And this was when, sorry?
This was 9 years ago.
Okay.
Different enough, but not massive culture shock like it could be in certain countries. That was that. And I taught in an international school for 4 years, and then I left to set up my own SRL, partly in English, and a private tutoring. And then I've now moved down a notch, and I've got a Persona Fisica Autorizzata. PFA, yes.
But your private tutoring is still happening?
It's still happening.
Yeah, you still got time if anyone is interested? How do they find you?
Oh, no, I'm full.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if this is a point where I can talk about my, you know, that I'm studying for a degree.
Absolutely.
In painting, yes.
Yeah, because this is where I met you, was in Malmaison, right?
Yes.
Which is a very interesting place when you think about it, and how the story of it, how it was basically refurbished by the artists.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me all about it and how you found that place and why you switched to painting.
Yes, so it happened really during the pandemic. I had just set up my SRL 6 months before the pandemic hit. Everything just went online and stayed online, so it didn't actually affect me. But I remember when I heard about, you know, the COVID-19, and I just had a really feeling of dread about it, and it kind of made me think, okay, what do I really want to do in life? Everything sort of zoomed to a pinpoint, and that's when I decided I would enroll to do a degree in painting with the Open University. I'd always liked painting when I was young. In fact, when my parents asked me what I wanted to study at university, my first choice had been art.
Okay.
And my parents had said, I think understandably, they'd gone, what's your second favourite subject? I thought, I'm gonna do it. And I went to an Open Doors at Malmaison Studios on Calle Plevne. Is twice a year the artists who work in this building, which is a former military barracks and was also used as an interrogation centre during the communist period. They open their studio doors to allow the general public to come and have a look around. So I went to one of those days, and then I said to one of my friends, what do you think? What do we think about renting our own place there?
Yeah, right.
So we did. And so now, rather than making our apartment, mine and David's apartment, stink of oil, paints and turpentine, and having our cats jumping and putting hairs in my paintings.
I can imagine that. Yes, all right.
I have my own studio. So it's a really great place to you know, paint and also display your work and so on.
So are you there every day?
Probably more like 4 times a week, I think. I try and go as much as possible.
This is your space. It's your creative space. Are you just locked up when you're not there, or if Deirdre's there, maybe?
Yes.
Otherwise, you just go there on a whim, as you feel like it.
Yes, exactly. And it's a place to dream, because it's very peaceful and so on. So, I really enjoy it.
You mentioned that I'm studying, doing the degree in painting from the Open University. Why do I feel a little bit surprised about, I can understand as a topic that you might just be able to read stuff on, you could do in the Open University, but painting?
Yeah.
How do you show your, I guess you make paintings and take photographs of them and send them back, or do you have to deliver them?
No, it's, yeah, I think in the past they did have to be delivered and posted in person if you didn't live near, you know, in the UK. But nowadays they accept digital photos and videos of your work and so on. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it probably is better to actually go to a physical university, but my Romanian is about B1, which B1 probably isn't good enough for understanding what's going on at a university level. So
it's probably better than mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what about, how long have you been painting for this?
Well, because I'm still tutoring and doing working, it's on a part-time basis. So, you know, I'm probably going to be getting my free bus pass by the time I actually graduate. But, you know, I'm not in a hurry. It's something I enjoy doing and, you know, it's not, I mean, of course, if I can move into something involving art in the future, that would be great, but I don't have to. So there's a lovely freedom in that right. It doesn't have to be something that gives me an income stream. It would be, you know, nice.
Well, talking of income stream, I mean, you're doing this for your own sake, or are you selling your works?
Well,
or a gallery, or displaying them somewhere at least.
Everything has a price, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, my paintings are for sale, and you know, if people can follow me on Instagram, for example. So it's
give the details; people might be interested.
I always forget what my details are. So it's I have forgotten. Lum.
Search Helen Lum, right?
Yeah, exactly.
L-U-M-B Lum.
Search Helen Lum.
Yeah, on Insta and Face and the usual places.
Yes, I'm on my. Lum 2701. I've only just gone on Instagram. I have managed to put about 20 different things on there already.
I know what your birthday is.
Oh, is that my birthday? No, it's not. That's some random generated name they gave me.
So yeah, and I'll put the link on the page so that people download the online version of the show will also be able to click the link and look at your paintings while they listen to you speak.
Exactly.
Imagine that. A full multimedia experience going on here. Talking of media, music again.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, this is interesting. I've noticed a pattern developing, and I like this pattern, which is where the guests will pick for the third piece of music a Romanian track.
Yeah?
And basically a Romanian guilty pleasure, let's be honest. Yeah. And stuff that doesn't get played enough on Radio Gorilla, let's be honest. So, a small clue. Right, go on. Why?
Yes, I think this band is actually from Moldova, rather than Romania. They're speaking Romanian. But I heard this, I'd already accepted the job, but then, I don't know, probably the algorithms were whirring and they were throwing up because I was researching Romania and this song came up and I listened to it and I don't know, it's got a fun and an energy and a sense of, if you see the video, they're getting on a plane and it was a sense of, I'm leaving my old life behind, going to my new one. It's Dragos Jadinte, Ozone.
Yeah, and it's it was one of those summer hits, which we don't have them anymore, if you noticed. They used to be huge summer hits, and this was one of them. And it was all over Europe, and they recorded it in about six languages. Let's go.
Alo? Salut! Sunt eu, un haiduc. Și te rog, iubirea mea, primește fericirea. Alo? Alo? Sunt eu, Picasso, ți-am dat bip. Și sunt voinic, dar să știi, nu-ți cer nimic. Vrei să pleci, dar numai ei. Numai ei. Numai ei. Chipul tău și dragostea din tăi mi-amintesc de ochii tăi ei. Vrei să pleci, dar numai ei. Numai ei. Numai ei. Chipul tău și dragostea din tăi mi-amintesc de ochii tăi ei.
Te sun, să-ți spun, să-ți spun ce simt acum. Alo? Iubirea mea sunt eu, fericirea. Alo? Alo? Sunt iarăși eu, pica.
Word from our sponsors.
This is Expat Life. You know you want it.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
With Helen Lum, the next chapter. What happens next? Frankly, as simple as that. What happens next? We've got about 2.5 minutes.
Okay. Well, for the foreseeable future, we plan to stay in Bucharest. We've got an apartment here that we bought about 5 years ago now. It's in a lovely part of the city on a lovely tree-lined street. And for the first time in my life, we know all of our neighbours. They're all Romanian, apart from us. We're the kind of weird British couple who walk their cats on leads.
Walk what?
Yeah. And I think this is why we've got to know everybody, because everybody goes, exactly. Nebun. Exactly. And it really has meant, it's like if you have a dog and you walk a dog, you talk to people.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It's really nice. So
it's
we intend
more unusual
to
if it's
here.
A cat, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Took a while to train them, but yeah, now they love it. Yeah.
So more of the same.
More of the same.
And maybe selling your paintings to the highest bidder.
Well, who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, I certainly intend to, you know, carry on painting.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's important to try and follow your dreams.
Right. Follow your dream. Yeah. Ah, I see where that's headed. But I'm going to keep the listeners in suspense for another 45 seconds or so.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So what is there anything you would change?
I don't think so. I know somebody once asked me, do you wish you'd moved abroad and got gone teaching abroad or a bit earlier? And I don't know. I don't like to think like that. You know, I just think, well, if I'd moved earlier, maybe I would have not liked where I'd gone. Right. And, you know, you can never have two lives. So, you know, I don't, I'm not really into this idea of regrets.
In the multiverse theory, but
that's true.
Every decision you've ever made has led you to be sitting in this chair right now.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, I don't think there's something I would change. No.
Okay. So, dream, baby, dream. Tell me.
Yeah. Well, basically, I first heard this song. It was used in the documentary series Hypernormalization by Adam Curtis.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Isn't he some... It's unbelievable how few people know about this guy. You've got to check him out and find his videos. They're astonishing.
Yeah. He makes complex political issues graspable, even though they're so tricky to understand. And, you know, I heard this music and the montage scene was a load of buildings falling down all over the world. So it's a little bit, but it's very, I think it's, especially given recent events, it's quite pertinent.
Yeah.
That,
didn't he also do Trauma Zone? Didn't he also do Trauma Zone? Was that one of his?
I think I've seen it. I've forgotten what that one.
It's on the BBC. It's basically about why Russia is like what Russia is like.
Yes. Yeah. I think I have seen it, but yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is where I first heard that song, and it seems to, you know, to me, I think about the fact that if there's something you really want to do and have a passion for, then, you know, if you have the means and the possibility to do it, then you should try.
Dream, baby, dream. Like that. So here we go. Thank you very much. This was Expat Life. Nice story. Beautifully told. Hardly scratched the surface. I think you'll come back and tell some more stories, please. Because that went by very fast, as it always does. Suicide, dream, baby, dream. We won't.
Thanks for having me.
We won't dwell on the suicide part. We'll dwell on the dream, baby, dream part. God, I can't even speak tonight. This has been Expat Life. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
Dream forever.
baby. Keep that dreams burning forever. Oh, dream, baby, dream. Dream, baby, dream. Forever. Why you keep that flame burning, babe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta keep that flame burning forever, baby. Mm-hmm. Dream, baby, dream. Yeah, come on, baby, keep that dream burning. Yeah. Forever and ever. Forever. Yeah, I see that smile on your face, my baby. Yeah, you got the idea now. Yeah, it's your dreams, you know. Yeah, it makes you free, baby. Yeah, you gotta make it happen, you know. Yeah, I know you won't. I see that smile. Oh, babe. Oh, dream, baby, dream. Dream, baby, dream. Oh, dream, baby, dream.
Stay tuned for Uma and Rial. Young minds, fresh ideas. Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
New maps, please.
Good night, everybody.
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.